The Final Furlong podcast is sponsored by Unibet. Sign up now using code ATR-30 to get your welcome offer. BeGambleAware.org. 18 plus.
The Final Furlong podcast is brought to you in association with AtTheRaces.com, the ultimate resource for racing fans.
Welcome along to the At The Races Final Furlong podcast, which, so to not confuse anything, At The Races is the digital partner going forward Sky Sports Racing, which we're very excited about. I'm Emmett Kennedy, joined by At The Races pundit and Sky Sports Racing pundit, Mr. Kevin Blake.
Hello!
And we are also joined by At The Races pundit, Mr. Declan Ricks.
How's it going, everyone?
Have you calmed down? No more laughing gas for the three of us? We're all good to go?
Yeah.
All right.
All good.
Then let's start with the weekend's racing and what could be the race of the season. Try and beat this. Altior has to take on not one, not two, but three high-class horses in the Tinkle Creek. It's always a brilliant race, but particularly this year, 3 o'clock Sandown. He will face Undeso, who will be ridden by Ruby Walsh, 5-1. So Royal is the best price, 11-2. St. Calvados, 6-1. Nobody else wants to take them on. Altior heads the market at 8-11. Rixie, this is going to be some spectacle.
Yeah, it's going to be some race now. A bit kind of like what we were saying last week with the Fighting Fifth. It's a small field, but again, there's not too many horses that you wish could be here. You know, I suppose Footpad is maybe the obvious one, but as we know, Willie likes to break up his horses. So we've got Undeso, but look, we've got Undeso versus Altior. I think that's a clash that everyone has wanted to see for a little while. But is it now kind of getting to the stage where it's Manny Pacquiao versus Mayweather and it's becoming a bit too late?
Because, how dare you?
Ooh.
How dare you?
Well, look. I think the market has kind of forgotten that Undeso is 10 going on 11, you know. I could be totally wrong now. And he's definitely one horse now that you don't want to speak ill of in any way, because this horse is just, you know, he's just a horse of a lifetime. He really is. His attitude, just his zest for life, everything about him is just what makes this game very, very special. But unfortunately for him, kind of, there's always been that one horse like Sprinter Sacker that's always been maybe that little bit better than him. But look, if he wins this, you know, not that his legacy needs cementing in any way, but this will just add another notch to what has been an absolutely brilliant career.
Okay, what's your idea of the winner?
My idea of the winner is, look, you've just got to, on bare form, none of these horses have the ability or have achieved what Altior has done. He's rated 175. I actually have him rated 177. You know, St. Calvados is rated 158. I have him at 155 at the moment. So Royal is rated 159. I have him at 160. And Undeso is rated 168. And I have him at 160. So look, he's got
Were you taking the loss from Phil Smith? Was it? Did you study at his table?
How do you mean? They're lesser Irish ratings, lads, for the good horse.
Did you have your thick glasses on when you were reading those out?
All right, Norval. All right.
All right, lads. Just trying to put a bit of flesh on the bones, all right? two boys on ITV there now and it's all gone to their heads.
And my good friend Jeremy Kyle joined us on the podcast.
Yeah, too much champagne at the likes of Royal Ascot now has turned your head.
Well, actually, on my ratings, Kevin and Emmett are actually £12 clear of Declan.
But my ratings are two Eve massive squiggles.
Oh, I definitely have a squiggle.
If there was ever a candidate for a double squiggle, it's Kennedy.
Absolutely. 100% double squiggle.
Ungenuine in a finish needs gelding.
No. A stallion doesn't need to run. So essentially what you're saying is this is an almost impossible task for the others, unless this is an off day for Altior. Because Mick Fitzgerald, to be fair, and I've said it on the podcast before, was saying on ITV, funnily enough, with this, that he thinks that that Altior could be the best horse he's ever seen. So you're making a very good point, Declan. This is going to be a lofty task for everybody.
Yeah, it is. Look, but that's, you know, that's assuming everything runs to its rating. But we all know racing doesn't work like that. I suppose one thing, if you know, just for balance, if you wanted to kind of maybe potentially take Altioran. There has been this kind of suggestion now that people want to see him stepped up in trip. And, you know, the Tingle Creek this year, probably has been for the last couple of years because nobody knows what the actual distance is. But the Tingle Creek is not even, the Tingle Creek is not even 2 miles. It's 1 mile, 7.5 furlongs. So, you know, he's actually coming down in trip from the Queen Mother, technically. Only half a furlong. But then when you factor in that he's maybe looked like a step up in trip would help, does that, is that maybe give us a bit of leeway to potentially take him on? I don't know.
Kev, you've wanted to see Undersow on soft ground against Altior, and the O'Connell family have listened. Willie Mullins has listened. Here it is.
Right, come here now, Kennedy. Rixey has run up to his modest rating of 45 here in his appraisal of this race. He has not sold this race nearly enough.
But Kevin
this
Blake.
This is the best Tingle Creek we've had since the great, great days of Moscow, well, Chief Azertiab. I would argue that this is one of the best races we've seen outside of a spring festival anywhere.
That's what I'm talking about.
For years. Oh, this is some race, lads.
This is brilliant.
You're a marketing bot all of a sudden, are you?
This is some race.
If you're not getting
more excited about this than Rixey, go and check your old pulse. You might be dead. Or you might need a different game to follow, because if this race doesn't get you going, there's no hope for you. I couldn't be more excited than I am for this particular race, and I can't wait to see
it. This positive persona you're displaying here publicly is such an fraud, Link. It's so ridiculous. Just get out. Look, I can see through you easy now. No, but being actually serious, I think you're right. I probably definitely undersold that. You're spot on. This is just ridiculous stuff. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you how good Kevin's art of persuasion is. My heart rate during your analysis and preview, Declan, was 65, which Kevin would deem me to be
65. My ass.
I am
65 heart rate since you were born.
I am WhatsApping this to you right now, Kevin, for photo evidence. Right, new evidence. It's being sent to you now. During
bring in Apple Watch to your genius or whatever it is, because it's clearly broken if it's telling you you've got a heart rate of 65.
Let me get to the point. During Rixey's promo of the race and his analysis, 65 beats per minute. The second Kevin started talking about it, 106 beats per minute. Now we're talking.
Oh, yeah. They're the two ITV boys ganging up on me. There's a surprise.
This is...
Well, here, look. We'll get back to it here. This is some race. Look, Altior is obviously the one we're all hoping would turn up. And the standard setter, no question.
Absolutely.
And look, the thing is, I would have been picking at him now like I pick at many of these good horses for an awful long time, pointing out the factual facts that he'd never beaten a really good horse on a day where that really good horse ran up to form. That all changed in the Champion Chase in March. And he did what I suppose many people always believed he could do. That was some performance. That was the best performance of his life, one that stamped him as one of the very best two-mile chasers of recent decades, I'd say you could safely argue. However, as brilliant as he was on that day, it would be dangerous to assume that he'll be the same horse this year. He's had breeding issues. He's getting a bit older. History is littered with examples of two-mile chasers that hit a point at a stage in their career and struggled to reproduce it. You know, you think back to your Masterminds and horses like that. I'm not saying that he'll fit that bill. He's not quite as flashy as some of those ones that fit that bill and wore. But it would just be dangerous to assume, you know. And if you're backing him at odds on here, you're assuming he's the same horse he was last year and will be able to reproduce it on his seasonal reappearance. In fairness to him, his record when fresh is very good. You know, he beat a race fit Politologue and beat him well on his comeback last season. The season before, I just looked back at this today because I'd forgotten it happened. On his seasonal reappearance in 2016-17, he beat Black Carton in a two-runner race. And Altior literally had passed the finish line before Black Carton got over the final fence. Literally, I'm not exaggerating.
I remember that. It's amazing. It's actually amazing.
He's very good generally on a seasonal reappearance, but he'll need to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm surprised San Calvados is the outsider of the whole lot here. I thought there was an awful lot to like about his season reappearance at Nice. Obviously, there was an awful lot of focus on footpad and what he didn't do, but what St. Calvados did do was very good. And for me, he showed that he'd settled down a bit over the summer. He was a bit more sensible with his jumping. He settled a bit better. And what leads here will be very interesting, because on the Sow isn't always ridden quite as aggressive, isn't quite as aggressive as he once was. Based on Nace, St. Calvados isn't quite as aggressive as he once was. I suspect neither will want to get hooked up with each other. So it will be interesting to see which one leads. But look, St. Calvados, he was on yielding ground in Nace. It looks like it'll be close to the soft ground at Sandown, which will suit him. He's got a big rounded action. I wouldn't like to underestimate him. The one that I wouldn't be as keen on would be Sow Royal. Don't have a wild amount against them, but I just was hoping for more in the Schlorer chase at Cheltenham last time. He ultimately took quite a while to get the better of Simply Ned. Wonderful horse, Simply Ned, but he's about 120 years of age and has always fallen short at the very highest level. And we know he beat him in the Grade 1 last season, but that was... We all know what went on there. So no disrespect to Simply Ned. He's a very good yardstick, if you will, in this division. But if you're struggling to get past him, Altior and Under Sow and even St. Calvados, they're going to be a different kettle of fish altogether. So he'd be the last one on my list. Watch him go and bolt up now after me saying that. And I left Under Sow for last because he's a hero. He's been one of my favourite horses in training for years and years. I've had a strong opinion for a number of seasons that 2 miles soft ground, it would take an absolute superstar to beat him in those circumstances. Nothing has beaten him in those circumstances in his whole career. 2 miles soft ground, he is unbeaten. And I'm just thrilled that he's getting the chance to do it. And look, Rixie has a point. As much as I love Under Sow, Father Time doesn't wait. He is rising 11. But to be fair to him, there was no sign of a downgrade last season. I think it's fair to say he was right up there with his very best. He disappointed in the Ryanair to a point, but I don't know if I want to take that literally. If I'm honest, I don't know. There was some vibes afterwards that he, nothing officially, but there was some little whispers and what have you doing the rounds that, yeah, his preparation hadn't been brilliant, which makes sense in a way. Given the way he shaped on the day, but he was very good after that, of course, beat Dovan and Punchestown. And look, these are his circumstances, these are his conditions. I'm assuming we get the bit of rain that's due. And I've been looking forward to this clash for so long, and I just hope that, like Rixie says, that history doesn't show that it came a bit late for him, because I think he'd put it up to Altior in these circumstances at his best. I can't wait to see this. This is going to be some race. If you put a gun to my kyaun and said have a bet, it's probably an Under Sow. It's probably an Under Sow. It couldn't be an Altior. For all that, he's clearly the most likely winner. And just at the price he is, it's just... you know what? This could be... It's certainly, if it's not the best race Altior has ever contested, it's certainly the second best. And the only one that would rival it was the Champion Chase last year, where Min was, in peak form. Min is a very good horse, but I'd say peak form on the Sow is probably better than Min.
Yep.
And who knows, St. Calvados and maybe Sow Royal, they could come up to that mark. They're not that far behind. Min was 1.67 in the Champion Chase last year. On the Sow is 1.68 at the minute. Sow Royal and St. Calvados have a little bit to find, but they're second season chasers. They can certainly advance their rating further. So yeah, you could definitely make the argument that Altior has never had such a rival on his plate as Under Sow on soft ground. But you're making the assumption that Under Sow is going to be himself. I'm happy to give him the benefit of the doubt, because there was no sign of any deterioration last season. His connections have all went out of their way to compliment him again at the outset of this season about how much enthusiasm he retains and that he seems as mad as ever. And I just can't wait. I can't wait to see this race. Honestly, I can't recall. To be honest, and it's only been in the last couple of hours that it's really dawned on me, because I was kind of being cynical, expecting a couple of these not to turn up. But the decks are in, and it looks like it's going to happen. Hopefully, the racing gods don't deny us this race, but with a non-runner in the meantime. But Oh, gee, I'm excited about this. I really, really am.
Well, the thing is, we've become so used to big name horses being entered for a big weekend race and then inevitably one or two drop out. And yeah, one or two have dropped out. The rubbish in the race. And it's the quality that's left. And this is, I think you've done a Don King level job of selling this race, by the way, Kevin Blake. This is proper. And the tactics are going to be fascinating. And I guess that's where Ruby comes in. That he's so good at adapting to how a race unfolds in front of him. That you've got the right man on his back. He won the race 2 years ago. Altior has never won this race. Doesn't mean that he can't. He just hasn't lined up in it. And he's had his problems.
Yeah, tactics will be interesting. So I don't think Undersow has to lead. But over this trip, I'd imagine Ruby will be happy to let him flow. I'm sure St. Calvados' connections probably still wake up in a cold sweat. I'm having nightmares about the Arkle last season, where he got hooked up with Petit Mouchois. And it was just an utter disaster for both of them. They won't want a repeat of that. He looked more tractable on his seasonal reappearance. Granted, he was given an uncontested lead there. And if Undersow did take up the running in the early stages, who knows, maybe St. Calvados wouldn't consent to settling behind him. So the first couple of fences will be fascinating. You can be sure that Sore Oil and Altior will be happy to follow. And it's just going to be great. And just on that point of the small field, good God, lads and ladies, if you're one of those people that is going to crib this race, oh, it's a very small field, isn't it? Right, tell you what you do. Wherever you are now, stand up, go into your bathroom, look in the mirror, look yourself in the eye and slap yourself across the face. Because that is just the most stupid point. And we get this a lot. Who cares if there's only four? The four best horses are here. The only one who I'd really love to see in is Great Fields. That's best. Probably the only addition. Yeah. Maybe Min. Other than that, you've got the four of the best two-mile chasers around. And the notion that it could possibly be enhanced by throwing in a couple of 20-to-1 shots or 33-to-1 shots is absolute and utter rubbish. I will never have that point. I will never understand it. And if you insist on making it, at least try and give a little smile or a snigger at the end of it so some people might think you're not being serious, because that's all that'll save you.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I mean, if your argument is, oh, I can't have an each-way bet in the race, then don't bet on it. Just sit back and watch four brilliant horses go to war. It's going to be a cracking race.
I can't wait.
Declan Ricks, having heard Kevin... by the way, have you looked at that photo, Kevin, for verification?
Which one?
My heart rate.
I haven't actually, no. I don't believe it.
Look at your WhatsApp. Being asleep during Rixie and suddenly coming alive during Euro analysis. Are you now sold, Rixie? And if so, let me ask you this. There will be a lot of people listening to this saying, this is rubbish. Altior can't get beaten. He's never been beaten over fences. What are you talking about? He's a supreme novice hurdle winner. He's a champion. Defeat to Undersow doesn't preclude him from being a champion. This would be an okay defeat.
Yeah, no, exactly. It would. No, look, this Kevin has done a good job in this. This is outstanding. It really is. You know, I think in Altior, we've probably got the best horse since Sprinter Sacra, in my opinion. Yeah. I know Duvan on his day is definitely in and around that house as well. You've got Undersow, who's just an absolute champion of National Hunt racing. And then you've got Sore Royal, who Kevin was pretty down on. Now, I wouldn't be as down on Sore Royal as Kev for a couple of reasons. One, I think his course form here is pretty good. He was electric last year in the King George, Henry VIII?
Henry VIII.
I know, yeah, the race did fall in his lap a little bit. They went hard, but he just jumped around like a buck and he was unbelievable. He was the same when he won the Shlour at Cheltenham the last day, beating Simply Ned. Look, I you have to agree with Kev with what he says, you know, getting £3 from an 11-year-old like Simply Ned and beating him, you know, 2.25 lengths on paper isn't great. But I think when you kind of combine all the factors of him coming back from a little setback, I think that ground is definitely as quick as he wants it as well. I think any rain that they get at Sandown will definitely play to his strengths. And, you know, he did so much right. He travelled with so much zest. He was loving it. He jumped really well. And I think in the end, he did pick up Simply Ned well. Daryl Jacob probably had to get a little bit more serious than you'd like, but he was dynamite. And then you've got St. Calvados, who I know a couple of the lads who are big into the times, they were absolutely raving about what this horse was doing last year. I think what he did at Warwick when he won the Grade 2 beating Diego de Charmeil was supposedly on the clock. It was just off the charts. And then, as Kev has already pointed out, we know what happened to him at Cheltenham. He got an absolutely brain dead ride. And let's be honest about it. Like, Davy Russell gave Paddy Mouchoir a brain dead ride, and Aidan Coleman gave St. Calvados a brain dead ride. You know, those are two highly professional lads. But look, no, the thing is, you see a lot of the lads kind of analysing races like this, like. The two of those lads will know they had absolute shockers.
No, I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you said it, because I'm pretty sure we said it at the time. It was terrible. And they're both better than that, and they've both been better than that, but it was awful.
Exactly, exactly. And in kind of situations like that, you just feel bad for the horses themselves and the owners. And look, Aidan Coleman is not riding the horse this year. Did that ride have something to do with it? Maybe it did. You know, this is where the lads at the very, very, very top level separate themselves. Who won that race, the Arca, last year?
Footpad.
About 8 or 9 lengths off the pet.
Ruby.
Yeah, who was riding Footpad?
Ruby, yeah.
There you go. You know, I don't want to. You don't want to be too down on jockeys, because these jockeys they have a tough job. They're sweating. They're not eating. They're all that, and you know they're facing danger every day. But look, sometimes you've got to say it was a poor ride, and that's just simply the case. You know, just like, for example, if I put out a poor tip, if Davey or Aidan Coleman wants to come up and go, "Hey, Rixie, that was a shy tip. You don't know what you're on about." That's fair enough. I'm not going to lose any sleepovers, you know? So there you go. And trust me, there'll be plenty of those.
What Rixie does on that occasion, and I was there at a race meeting one day when someone came up to Rixie and had a go at him for having the audacity to tip a 33-1 shot that got beaten. And Rixie just turned to the At the Races management and said, "Cut the check. I still get paid."
There you go. That's it. We all make mistakes. Unfortunately, these guys are in the limelight. They are sports stars, and you know when it gets magnified. But look, I defy anyone to say they weren't two brain dead rides.
This is going to be one of the most high pressure situations that Nico, Ruby, Daryl, and Gavin have ever found themselves in, and it's going to be fascinating to see which of these horses delivers and which jockey delivers, because tactically and in terms of ability to do it, I'm glad you said that about So Royal too, because he is a horse of immense potential and he hadn't raced since January. So I wouldn't quite be in Kevin's corner there, be in yours. It's going to be some race. Don't miss it. 3 o'clock. It's live from Sandown.
Yes.
And this is the best, as Kevin said, since Moscow Flyer beat Azurti up in Welchief. It's just stunning.
So, in terms of a bet, what are we looking at?
Under so for me, definitely.
For me. What about you?
I think Altior wins, obviously. Captain obvious, but I don't like, he's had first time out. He's
on your ratings, what would the straight forecast be then? Come on.
I don't know, my ratings are very how should we say it?
Shite.
Yeah, shite and prehistoric and Nathaniel ridden and everything. So
if he's the most likely winner, like, is this a race second for you that you are happy to sit back and just watch it and not get involved? Or is there a part of you saying Underso's too big, So Royal's too big, St. Calvados shouldn't be 6-1?
Betting without the favourite.
There you go. I think the betting without the favourite market is one of the most underutilised markets in the game. I really do.
Yeah, you're right.
So at a bigger price, the horse that I'm actually going to put up is So Royal, just because he does so much right. I think in terms of raw ability, he doesn't have anything to find really with St. Calvados. He does with Undeso, but Undeso was 10 going on 11, having his first start of the season. So Royal has won a Schlure. He's 6 going on 7, and he looked in great form. So he's the one for me. The only thing I would have said with So Royal, I would have liked a bigger field, because he travelled so well. And I would have liked Daryl Jacob to give him a real ballsy ride, kind of even hold him up. Don't give him bloody 10 lengths now, Daryl. You know what I'm saying? You know, give him a couple and get a good lead and get some cover. And just his jumping will do the rest for him. So he's the bet for me. So Royal, I don't think there's a market formed for that, but
there will be.
I don't know. Given Undeso's price and profile, you know, you could be looking at maybe 2-1. So I'd rather back him without Altior 2-1 than back Altior straight at about 8-11 or whatever it is.
It's going to be a cracking race. I cannot wait for it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy it. Before that, at 1:50, we will see Kelly Woollacott's Lawler in action. Obviously, an odds-on favourite, 10-11 after that brilliant performance at Cheltenham. Dynamite Dollars reopposes. He is 6-1, as is Diakali. And his new life for Gary and Joshua Moore, currently sevens. It's all about Lawler, though. He was brilliant. It's obviously a very emotive story. But if you just park that for 1 second from a pure race analysis perspective, that was really exciting what he did at Cheltenham. And I would be disappointed if he couldn't follow up. He doesn't have to do it in the same style, but I would expect him to go and do it again, Declan.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think what he did at Cheltenham, as you say, kind of, you know, I think maybe it's the story is great and we hope the story continues. But, you know, something what we're doing here is, you know, trying to preview a race and kind of, you know, we've got to put all that to one side. And when you do put all that to one side, he was dynamite. He really, really was. He beat Dynamite Dollars by 7 lengths. He jumped like a buck and, you know, he put a few things to bed, really. Maybe there was maybe a bit of a thought that he was potentially better on kind of good, proper soft ground. There was another thought that maybe he was a bit of a spring horse. And, you know, I think in winning like he did on good ground at Cheltenham in November, it probably just suggests to me that we're just finally seeing a horse of huge stature just come into his own. So, look, I think his time as well that day, I think that race was the same day as the Schlurr at Cheltenham. And I think the time stood up pretty well and he was carrying a similar weight to So Royal. So, yeah, look, it was the perfect start to the season. But, and then, you know, while the Tingle Creek is an unbelievable race, this is a bit of a shite race. So I think we should take all the beating. This is not a good grade one, lads. It really, really, really isn't. And I would have liked to have potentially seen Kalashnikov come here, but they've taken a more patient route with him. He went and won at Plumpton, I think, on Monday. This is not a good race. So I think if we'll have to see. I think he's odds on already now before the final decks come out. But if he was even money on the day, you know, with likely a few more horses to come out, I think he'd probably be a bet.
We know the tactics now. For account acquisitions on Saturday morning, someone's going to go evens. But right now, his best odds, 10-11. Kevin, we talked about him in depth the last day. From the perspective of this race, disappointing if he can't do it for the champion jockey.
Yeah, for sure. Look, what he did at Cheltenham first time over fences was very good. But the style in which he did it would suggest that he can improve and come on from that. You know, I thought Richard Johnson gave him a very good educational ride. You know, he took him back into traffic very deliberately early on. You know, his jumping was nice and measured and neat, efficient. You know, he wasn't letting fly at him like you'd sometimes see with these 2 mile novice chasers. He was good and efficient. And yeah, look, he was powerful in the closing stages. And one would hope that he'd build on that and be very tough to beat here. You know, Diakali is probably his biggest danger. I suppose we don't want to be in danger of underestimating Diakali. You know, in his prime, he was a very, very good horse. And to be fair, he switched from Willie Mullins to Gary Moore. And I suppose just that switch in itself would have you going, oh, God, you know, how much Willie Mullins wouldn't have let him go if he thought there was still a load of juice left in him. And while he was disappointing in his first two spins over hurdles, he's been very good over fences. Kind of as you'd expect, you know, aggressive front running, good jumper in the main, can let fly at a few. But really, at Cheltenham last time, he was probably pretty lucky. He raced clear, probably did too much in the middle part of the race. It looked like Dear Sire was probably going better with him. He fell at the second last. Then it looked like One for Billy might be launching a challenge up the run in, and he's run out the gap onto it, do another circuit. So he's probably been a bit lucky on the day. He may well have won anyway, but for his two closest challengers to make their individual exits certainly was a big help to him. And Lawler, you'd imagine, would represent a much more potent challenge than Dear Sire or One for Billy. So while it wouldn't be a bit of betting advice at odds on, I'd be, just from a spectator's point of view, I'd be very much hopeful that Lawler could really consolidate his Arkell prospects here with a big performance.
Yeah, Kalashnikov did it on Monday at Plumpton. It's over to you, Lawler, to get your second a big win, and I hope he does. It'll be a fantastic story as well, but just from a betting perspective, he just looks like a good thing, really, doesn't he?
And even kind of, sorry, cutting across you, Emmett, I think the great thing about this race being on the same day as the Tingle Creek is we can get a proper good look at these horses, which, you know, in terms of comparing times and sectionals and all that kind of stuff, you can really, really, really get a good look and see how these horses stand up to horses that they will potentially be facing next year.
Yeah, great shout that. And of course, it is Gary Moore's track. They love having winners there. So possibly Diakali will be a bit of a fly in the ointment. But I don't think that was by any means a fluke last time at Cheltenham. And I think hopefully Lawler, like, they were expecting him to be better next time. So, God, we could be in for a real show. Looking forward to that. Also, we'll see the return of the anti-post favourite for the Triumph Hurdle last year, or last season, I should say, which went horribly wrong. Apple Shakira on a retrieval mission. She's entered for the handicap hurdle. Yeah,
you know, funny enough, I bet being in handicap company will help her.
Big field?
I thought it all along. Big field, more pace in front of her. It might just give her a chance to settle and do things right, because we know the talent is there. And I just think those circumstances might suit her a bit better. So I wouldn't. You're probably getting wound up there to be super dismissive, but I wouldn't be as negative. I think she'd be okay in that sort of circumstance.
All right. I will just say that the juveniles have so far been rubbish this season. But over to you, and we'll see if she can get it done. Right. The Beecher handicap chase. Kevin can't wait to talk about this. Kevin's got one for us. But Rixie, it's over to you first of all, because I know that you have been doing proper study on this race, and I know you've nailed it for us as well. So what's your idea of the winner of the Beecher chase? And don't steal Don Poley from Kevin.
The winner was, or is, Theatre Territory, who is now a non-runner.
Oh, hey. For goodness sakes.
Oh, I was itching to see her over these fences again, but it looks like the decks have come through and she's not been declared. So all my hard work last night, I'm in the midst of moving house, I may add, has proven to be shite. So,
well, at least that's so great fun, though, Kevin. At least, Rixie, it's great fun to be moving house. You know, that's always a fun experience.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Love that whole crack of packing everything you own into a box and then moving it across town and then unpacking it again. And splendid experience. Splendid. But, yeah, look, I don't know what they're going to do with her Theatre Territory, the Warren Greatrix horse, but she's a well-handicapped horse for me, and she jumps really well. She ran behind Ibis Daru the last time, and she ran well. That was a good race. I think I don't know where they're going to go with her, but definitely keep an eye on her. I suppose the one that I would potentially blatantly put up, and I would just like to point out to listeners that I was moving yesterday, so I didn't get as much work done as I would have liked.
Excuses.
So, you know, so if all those horses kind of lose, it was obviously they were 1 point wins, and the ones that win were obviously max bets, so you know yourself. But the one I would have a tentative go at here is actually Highland Lodge. He's actually 12 going on 13, but he's this race has actually thrown up kind of really old horses winning. Hello Bud won this in 2012 as a 14-year-old. He also won it 2 years previous as a 12-year-old, and then Oscar Time won it in 2014 as a 13-year-old. Highland Lodge actually won this race 3 years ago, and he's back again. But I think the key with this horse is he's got a good record fresh. So he's coming off here off a 322-day break. He's got winning form over the fences, over the course and distance, and he was second in this race 2 years ago behind Villion Rouge off 137, and he now runs of 135. So I think I saw 20-1 there. I'm not still sure if the 20s is available.
You can get it.
Is it still there? Yep. I would be maybe I would have a tentative go at him. But then if he does win, I'll obviously be giving it the massive oi, you know yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, because this was your absolute 5-star nap max bet.
Yeah.
We can edit that in later on. Don't worry about it. We can change it.
Yeah, but look, it doesn't look a brilliant race. I think apart from obviously Don Poley being in there, but like I think one to the head of the market is Bally Optic. I know he was second in the Scottish National last year, but his jumping for me now would be a worry. And I really liked him, his profile and all that for the Scottish Grand National last year, but I just couldn't have him jumping around. It's probably more of a, it probably says more about the air fences than it does anywhere else. But this coming back to, you know, big fences, fences with drops, canal turns, all that kind of stuff, I think that might be fine him out. So if you wanted maybe to put one to the side at the top of the market, that maybe Bally Optic is the way to go.
Okay. Highland Lodge, of course, wears the famous Chubley Park silks, which are very much associated with the Aintree Grand National itself. Black Line won this race last year and then went horribly, horribly wrong. That awful race at Haydock, brought down, pulled up. He tries to redeem himself. He may very well do so. I would go for the winner from 2 years ago, V. Leon Rouge, because I'll just follow him right over the cliff, Kevin Blake. Is it all about Dom Poli for you? Jack Kennedy coming on over.
Oh, I can't wait to see the old boy back. Stop. It's been a long wait now. Great to see him back. He's had loads of entries there for the last few weeks, and that he's coming over to run over the big fences is just a big thrill. I think the days of being bullish about Dom Poli for this race or that are probably gone, but he's just probably my favourite horse in training at this stage, so I'll just be happy to see him back. Great horse, great character, very talented and consistent as well, to be fair to him, and it'll just be fascinating to see how much ability he has held on to during his absence. He got a leg, so you never know how much ability they'll retain when they're back, but to be fair to him, in his pomp, he maybe wasn't quite as good as I dreamed he might be at one stage, but to be fair to him, he was very, very consistent at the very highest level. And I just can't wait. You'd imagine he'd take to these fences, and the stamina test will suit him as well. And to be fair to Gordon, he seemed to be really sweet on him, talking about him earlier in the week. So I'd just be hoping he runs a good race. Couldn't be advising anyone back him or anything like that, but I'll be giving him a good roar. I'm in Rixie's boat a little bit here. I was planning on going with Go Conquer, but he hasn't been declared. So I'll give a tentative shout to Present Man, who I suspect will be well suited with these fences. Very good jumper, reasonably handicapped, and better than ever last time. Will be given a no-nonsense ride, you'd imagine, stays well. So he'd be my token selection, really, but for me it's all about watching the pollinator see how much speed he has retained.
I still have the poster that was given to us by Michael at a Cheltenham preview night, the pollinator. I have that.
What a horse.
He's absolutely fantastic, horse. With Bet Blake all over it as well. He did come to Aintree and win at this meeting a few years ago, and he did have grade one entries, so it's fascinating that they're going for this.
Yeah, back when the dream was alive, he beat Manny Clouds and beat him well in what was a super performance. And I just can't wait to see him. He's a smashing horse. I'd say it'll be Jack Kennedy's first time to ride him. And I'll just be mad keen to watch this. Saturday is just going to be a fabulous day of racing. There's so many races that are really engaging me, even at this relatively early stage before we even have full declarations for everything. I can't wait. It's going to be a super day.
Saturday, honestly, is a throwback to the old Channel 4 days when you'd get up to watch the morning line and then you would just be pouring through the paper and then you'd sit there glued to the couch. You're not moving. There's no chores been done. That's it. You're just sitting there and you're watching all of the racing for the entire day. It's a proper, proper day's action. And Many Clouds, who we just mentioned, will be remembered in the rewards for racing chase. 5-2. This is the race that Dom Poli beat him in a couple of years ago. And Definitely Red is again favourite, 13-8, having beaten Black Corton with that spectacular aerobatic piece of action from Briony Frost. Might as well call her Briony Corton at this stage. Two of them just get on so well. Why not? So Briony Frost was superb to maintain that partnership. Rock the Cashbah, The Last Samurai. Kevin, for you. We'll give you first crack at this one. So Danny Cook, Definitely Red.
You went to Sean Connery on us there for a second. Rock the Cashbah.
Rock the Cashbah. Das war Donya, Konrad. I'm one of them famous Russian captains. Down for Red October.
I don't have a strong opinion on this because this wasn't on our running order, so I haven't looked at it properly.
For Kennedy. Goodness sakes.
Jesus.
For goodness sakes, it said the grade 2, 205.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, how come I got the running order?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Rixie. Well, right, Rixie, you can do it. No, you just didn't do the work.
There was a race Rixie. Called the Grand National on my running order.
Oh, so you're an idiot.
How could I trust
you? You're an idiot. Rixie, Definitely red. Short price favorite. Opposer against
the Grand National.
Yeah, look, he's going to take a fair bit of beating, but there is one horse that would interest me now, and that is Dan Skelton's Rene Girl, who finished second last year behind Finian's Oscar in the Manifesto Novices Chase. And the, kind of that was the day she kind of signaled to me that she's going in the right direction. She does a lot right. She goes out, she makes a run, and she jumps well. The question is definitely the trip, but now she's maybe getting a little bit older, a little bit wiser. She might be able to see it out. She actually has winning form over 3 miles around Ludlow, but that was on good ground in April. And she has bits and pieces of form over kind of staying trips. But since they dropped her back in distance to around 2 mile 4, she's kind of come into her own. She would be interesting to me now if she managed to get an easy lead out in front and she was able to kind of turn this into a bit of a sprint. I'd imagine Danny Cook wouldn't allow that, but she's just interesting. It's not a great race. I suppose Double Shuffle is one we should give a mention to. He was obviously second behind My Bite and the King George last year.
Stop.
But he fell in his prep run behind Definitely Red at Weatherby last time, and he's kind of a horse who likes good ground and potentially going right-handed. So I don't know. Look, we need the decks would have been handy as ever, but I do think Rene's Girl is interesting from the front if Harry Skelton can get out there and dictate the pace, because with the weight allowance on my figures, she's only got about 5 or 6 pounds to find. So we'll see how it goes. That's when you factor in the filly's allowance. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I tell you what, Rixie, what Double Shuffle likes most, what the conditions that suit him best, are when he has a bone idle Might Bite in front of him to make him look better than he is.
That could be a fair shout from the young Blakester.
Yeah. Utterly, utterly flattered that day.
Completely.
Oh no, he was definitely flattered, but he still finished ahead of T2, Thistlecrack, you know. Yeah.
And do you know what? Roman the Schneem. Roman the Schneem. He is a superstar.
What are you talking about?
And the Shuffle's all right now. He's all right. He's maybe. Yeah. I do get what Kev is saying. Yeah. No. That it would
he's
be. A
he's
fair
fine,
fight.
Rixie.
He's fine.
Yeah. He's not grand.
Yeah. He's just. Oh, he's not even grand.
He's not grand.
Oh, oh God. the Blake scale is back.
I did like when Kevin liked the Sky Sports Racing tweet yesterday and someone tweeted you saying, it's ellipses, fine. The race that was there for your potential, Kevin, and it was because your second favorite horse in training could be running is Bywise in Chepstow for the Welsh Grand National Trial. But let's move on, and we will go to...
all it said in the running order was the Grand National.
No, it didn't. You didn't read it properly. The Grand National. Yeah, we're going to do an anti-post.
Literally, the Grand
we're
National.
We're going to do an anti-post preview of the Grand National now. The John Zerka Memorial Chase has seen some brilliant winners over the years. Will we get to see the likes of a Jackadam in this lineup? Black Hercules, you can hear Graham Wiley talk about him, and Bells Hill in my interview with him yesterday, which gets hijacked by Jeremy Kyle, which I honestly had absolutely no clue about whatsoever. And I was genuinely very worried when he started talking that he was going to say, I've got Hattie and Tash here and they both have the envelopes. I was thinking, oh no, what's going on? So you can listen
to
that.
Leave those poor girls alone.
Listen to that.
There's any amount of dodgy storylines we could throw at you here now talking to Jeremy Kyle.
So you can listen. And he destroyed me within 30 seconds as well. So you can hear that on At The Races in your podcast app. Presenting Percy, we know for sure, is coming back here. And Kevin, he's the idea of many people's Gold Cup winner. He was absolutely outstanding at Cheltenham last year, and it's fascinating to have him back.
And he's not even favourite.
It's ridiculous.
It's mad, isn't it? I just can't quite believe it. Yeah. Min is favourite.
Yeah.
Nothing against Min. But over 2.5 miles. I don't know. I don't think he really gets the trip if I'm being honest.
Well, it didn't look like it. It didn't look like it at Aintree, Kev.
But he seemed to get outstayed by a horse that's not the world's strongest there in my mind himself and Politologue. Oh, look, like presenting Percy, you could certainly argue that it might be a bit on the short side for presenting Percy, but he's a very classy horse. He is not shy of toe. And people might try to pigeonhole presenting Percy this season because, oh, you know, he's won over 3 mile 5 or whatever it was in the Porterstown. He stays forever, but he's a quick horse. He's always looked it. He's always been a strong traveller, always been capable of quickening up. 2.5 miles will be just fine for him, I think. And, yeah, God, if he's Pat Kelly, I'm sure we'll have him in great order. I remember on his season of reappearance last season, like, you'd imagine Pat Kelly would be training him for one day. And it would probably be unrealistic to expect him to be bang on here. But I did note Philip Reynolds talking about him the other day, and he was saying that they actually had him in earlier this season than they had last season. The intention was to get a few more runs, have a few runs into him by now. But the ground has obviously put pay to that. So I'd expect him to be straight enough now. And just over this trip now, Min, I'd fear Bell's Hill more than Min. So I would. I don't know if both of them will run.
Well, Bell's Hill, the intention, at least unless there's a last minute change of heart, is that he'll start off in what was known as the Lexus.
Okay, yeah. No, that'd be fair enough. Album Photo might start off here, but yeah, like presenting Percy is just better than all those, isn't he? But it just comes down to how ready he is. I think Ed Wolf will probably run here if the ground is safe. But you couldn't fancy him against presenting Percy at this stage, I don't think. So yeah, I'll be looking forward to seeing Percy back and taking his first step on the road to what could well be Gold Cup glory.
He's very much underestimated in this market, Rixey, isn't he? And also, we're not entirely sure what's going to happen with the Mullins team yet. Min may very well run here. Maybe he'll go for the hilly way at Cork. That could be great fields. Could be a day out for Bez either. So we know presenting Percy runs. 7-2 seems big.
Yeah, it is. It's an impossible race to get a hang of here. You've got Min in your Bell's Hill, Album Photo, Kemboy. You know, they're all the horses, just the willies. Like we don't know who's going to run. To me, it makes sense to start Min's season off in the hilly way, because you know first run of the season he's probably going to be a little bit gassy horse anyway. And you'd fancy something to outstay him over this trip. Bell's Hill, you know, is he a two and a half mile horse? I just look at this race and I just look at Min. I go 2 miler. I go Bell's Hill 3 miler. I go Presenting Percy 3 miler. Album Photo 3 miler. And I think we're struggling to have kind of just a proper 2.5 miler. And then I come down to a horse who looks grossly overpriced based on one run this season, and that's Balca de Flow. Balca de Flow is 12-1, lads. He won a Ryanair last year, beating Une de Soul. And I think 2.5 miles is his game. And I went back and I watched his race against Road to Respect in the J.N. Wine. He just, I don't know, is he a deep girth horse, but he looked a bit fat as a fool and he ran like that. So, and Rachel Blackmore did a very good job looking after him. She just, you know, wasn't overly hard on him. And as we saw with Henry's other good horse, Paloma Blue, he just looked like a horse who needed the run desperately as well. And maybe Henry's just one of the trainers who's been a little bit behind because of the good weather. And if that's the case, I'm willing to take a chance on Balca de Flow. 12-1 is chronically overpriced. But then again, we don't know, is he run? But I imagine he's going to run here, you know. Giggenstown aren't afraid to run their horses against each other. So to me, he is the horse who's grossly overpriced. And I think he might run here because Disco, we did a stable tour with Noel Mead. You did that, Kev, did you?
Disco,
yeah. So that Noel was kind of insinuating that he was maybe a little bit behind. And if he does run here, it was probably going to be maybe be a prep for Christmas.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have filled you with confidence now with a view to this race.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of vibe I got from him. So look, and this race is definitely going to cut up. You know, Willie's not going to run Min. He's not, and Bell's Hill and Album Photo and Kemboy. They're all not going to against each other. So I'm just wondering, is it worth having a little dabble anti-post before the decks come out on Balca de Flo?
Well, you can...
He should not be that price.
No.
He just shouldn't. There's not a whole, even anti-post, he should not be that price at 12-1. But then again, on the other hand, is that price basically suggesting that we don't know that he's an unlikely runner? But Henry's not the type of lad to enter horses and not run them. So, yeah, we don't know. But in terms of anyway, who I'd be looking at and winning it, just because on the pure basis that he's a 2.5 miler, taking on potential Gold Cup horses, I think Balca de Flo is the bet here. But he does come with risks because he was disappointing at Down Royal. But we know he's a very, very good horse, and 2.5 miles is his game.
Well, you've swayed me. I think I'm going to be having a cut off the 12-1 with Carl and Ladbrokes. Thank you very much.
Emmett Kennedy, the most easily swayed man that has ever said.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I like the fact that long-time listeners...
Yeah, but George making a case, it's easy, but...
Yeah, exactly. See, Rixie said it with confidence. I like the fact that one of our long-time listeners, Simon, tweeted... tweeted on Monday's review show saying 51 minutes Kennedy says anti-post betting's dead, 57 minutes Kennedy's like, lads, we're having a bet in the anti-post market. Balca de Flo, so for Gigginstown, it's a solid case and it's well made. Shattered Love, she could possibly line up here as well for Gordon. We're not entirely certain as we record, Kev.
Look, Percy wins. Just get on with it. Right?
Lovely. All right. Done. That's it. Anything else to mention? The Hillyway will be on as well. Of course, that's going to be a case of whichever Willie Mullins horse turns up goes and wins. Anything else that either of you would like to highlight, gentlemen?
Very quickly, I mentioned for Exeter Friday, which is tomorrow as we record.
Kevin, that's an English track.
There's a novice chase there, lads, that'll get you fairly jiggy. You got Black Op versus Defy the Soy versus Top of the Game. Proper race.
That's what I'm talking
proper
about.
Proper race. And it's just an ordinary, it's just a relatively ordinary novice.
And is White Moon in there as well, no? The Tizzer Horse.
Yeah,
White he is,
Moon
yeah.
Is there, yeah.
This is
some race,
lads. Yeah, it's a decent race. I think he was coming to win that race at Cheltenham when he fell at the, was it the November meeting?
But yeah, yes, it was,
That sounds like a cracking race.
Oh, stop, Black Op. Poor old Defy de Soy, I know, is on a bit of a retrieval mission. His chasing debut was okay. It wasn't fine. It was okay.
It's terrible.
And he definitely needs to do a bit better. But to me, it looked like I had a real good look at it, and it just looked like there might have been a bit of stage fright there. First run over fences at Cheltenham. I'm happy to give him another chance, but this isn't. I was kind of hoping he'd be put into less choppy waters, and technically he is, in terms of race class. But Jesus, he's pulled a few bogeys here,
big time,
with Black Op and Top of the Game and White Moon. Woof! This is a right good race. This would be the race. Certainly, this wouldn't look out of place in any of the big cards on Saturday. This is a right race.
Yeah, no, it's a really good shout. Hopefully, you've heard it beforehand, but even so, watch it back afterwards because it will be a cracking race. On Friday, Kevin, I cannot let you go without asking you about La Trobe. Joseph sends him to Hong Kong. It'll be live. I think James Knight was saying on Twitter that every fourth tweet on his timeline was all about the Sha Tin and Hong Kong racing. Does this interest anybody? Does this jockey's challenge interest anybody?
It wouldn't be like James Knight to be a bit negative on horses.
Not at all. And James Knight, the man who said that, what's the point of having Frankel in training at 4 when you don't run him over 12 furlongs? What are you talking about? He'd never be negative.
And the man who said he got bored of watching Big Bucks. Once he said that was just, he made his bed with me. No, there's just no coming back from that.
And I've met James Knight a few times. He's a special
lovely
fella.
Lovely
fella. He's easy to throw stones at on the tweet machine. My favorite James Knight one on Twitter was, he clearly had a pre-written tweet before the Ascot Gold Cup 1 year, because he's not a fan of those long-distance races, clearly. And the tweet was something like, meh, is it over yet? And it was the year that was a Leading Light won in the most incredible finish you've ever seen in your life. And he still sent it out. They just hit the line and he sent it out. Like, oh, you should have taken a pull there, Nighty.
He did it, Chapman. He tweeted a pre-written tweet.
Oh, here, I'll tell you, I had a pre-written tweet written out for Saturday when I saw all that money come for Sam Crowe. I was like, oh. the death of Sam Crowe has been exactly... What was that Mark Twain line? My death has been...
greatly exaggerated. Reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
And then I see Boover. I see Barry Geraghty coming along with his crouching tiger, hitting dragon pose. I'm like, oh my God.
Delete.
Good luck.
Oh man, what a performance that was from Boover there. Okay,
Funny enough, since we started calling out the pre-written tweets, it doesn't seem to happen all that much anymore.
Yeah, I think certain people have realized that. You see, what was happening was one particular person, Chapman in particular, was being called on it. He was being tweeted out saying hashtag pre-written tweet at Final Furlong. So yeah, you're welcome, Twitter. You're welcome. We put a stop to that for you. So Latrobe is drawn six, a fine run on his Australian debut, only beaten ahead. James McDonald on board. Rostropovich runs for Aidan O'Brien. Ryan Moore, Ryan's Mirage Dancer for Sir Michael Stout. Interesting. Doesn't always work out when Ryan Moore does that and drops a cool Moore horse. But Latrobe, fascinating runner.
Oh, he is, but look, he'll need a career best effort. You know, he was a bit unlucky not to win down in Australia. The start killed him. He was just a little bit slow to start, and he got squeezed back, and it just made his task really tough. And I thought he did well to go as close as he did. But look, he's back up to 12 furlongs, which is probably his trip. But look, this is a much tougher race than the McKinnon. It really is. I mean, he's drawn six. Good draw. World-class jockey in James McDonald. I just hope he just starts a little bit sharper. And you couldn't be going in confident now. I haven't even looked at the betting. I assume he's a big, big price. Because his form, that's what his form suggests he should be. This is a good, good race. And he's going there. He's had a bit of... they tell you how good they are in Hong Kong to report stuff. He had a bit of an incident there last week where he reared over and kind of rolled onto his side. And there was full reports sent out to the full Hong Kong Jockey Club mailing list detailing what happened and that he was being assessed and so on and so forth. And he came back right very quick, thankfully. But it's just an example. You know, there could be something 100 times worse could happen to a horse in this neck of the woods. And you'd be relying on kind of chit-chat to hear about it.
We'd never
know. The boys
know
over in Hong Kong know what you've had for breakfast.
Quite literally, yeah. Yeah,
some operation out there.
Ah, stop. And I'd normally be there now. I've kind of made a habit of going there. This is my first year missing it for a while. But it's if you haven't been, it's a fabulous place to go racing. It really is. Wonderful city. Geez, they love racing. They are passionate about racing. And
punting their brains out.
They love punting. And Happy Valley is as interesting a place as you'd ever go. And Sha Tin is obviously cracking as well. So if you could ever find yourself looking for a little break, I kind of do it kind of Wednesday to Sunday. And that's enough time to get it all in my opinion. So it doesn't have to be a long break. You can go there this weekend. Or there's the big weekend in April as well. That's worth a look as well. So that gets the Hong Kong experience, gets the two thumbs up from Kevin Blake. So it does.
Blake is doing some selling on the podcast this week, isn't he?
I'm not even getting paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you what, lads, I'm available to be your brand ambassador for whatever it is, be it Sandown, be it Hong Kong, be it Belfast. Jeez, I've done some serious selling on this pod over the years for nothing.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I got the best race in the world coming up for you. It's the Tinkle Creek, and you want to see my horse running this race. And as for at the races, it's exclusively live Sunday morning, 6 a.m. Don't you miss Happy Valley, the greatest place in the world. And you'll be happy when you bag Latrobe. Well done, King, there by Blake.
Sounds like those Valium are after wearing off, aren't they?
Just a bit, yeah.
Only in Hong Kong. Only in Hong Kong.
And only on At The Races.
Exclusively live on At The Races.
Just before we move on from Don King. Horrible human being.
Oh, terrible individual. Dregs. One of the most disgusting individuals on planet Earth ever. And I mean, including all the war criminals ever. My heart rate is currently at 145 beats per minute, so I better go. Valkyst for me in that race is live on ATR at 6 o'clock Sunday morning. Right, that's it. Declan Ricks, a pleasure as always. Thanks so much.
Cheers, lads.
And we'll edit that for you to be the max bet if it comes off. Kevin, I'll talk to you on Monday, my friend.
Good luck.
And I'll try and sell the racing as well as Kevin live from Dundalk tomorrow, Friday. Along with the Broadcaster of the Year of 2017, Luke Harvey, and Broadcaster of the Year 2018, Jason Weaver on Get In. It's going to be a lot of fun for me, isn't it? Yeah. I have no trophy.
Bring your helmet and armor, Kenny.
He even has, like... He won the bloody big point-to-point race the other day, so the two of them have trophies. It's ridiculous. Oh, anyway.
El Bebop and Rocksteady there.
Oh, I'm stealing that line. That's it. We're done. I'll see you Friday night and at the races on Get In, Monday on the Final Furlong podcast. God bless.
The Final Furlong podcast is sponsored by Unibet. Sign up now using code ATR-30 to get your welcome offer. BeGambleAware.org, 18 plus.
Have you downloaded the free At The Races app yet? With easy-to-use race cards and form, expert daily tips, plus video replays and in-app betting, it's the app that no racing fan's phone should be without. Available for free on your iPhone or Android mobile, visit attheraces.com/app for more details.